Hi there. Thank you so much for coming to worship, especially coming because you braved the great blizzard of 2011. I'm just surprised there's so many survivors, and I'm glad we could cluster together like this. I'll teach you the Bible in just a minute, but let me just tell you my survival story in the great blizzard. It's pretty dramatic. I was in our office building across the street. I needed to come over here to the worship center. And, you know, it had snowed everywhere. I mean, there were 2 inches of snow, you know. Okay, an inch and a half, but it was a dense inch and a half. And covered everything. And fortunately, there a couple of people had already come back and forth between the two buildings. So there were a couple of different tracks in the snow. And there was one headed off in the direction I wanted to go. So, what a genius I am. I walked in the other person's footprints, and that way you don't get all snowy. Ha! And so good. The problem is, as I got right up to the building, the tracks turned the wrong way and went way over to the other side of the buildings here. I don't know what's wrong with people. Why don't they check with me before they go out in the snow? But there I am. It's like, well, I don't want to walk all the way around the building the other way, and I don't want to go back, try to another set of footprints. And I was pretty close to where I wanted to be in the building, so I bravely headed off through the snow. I know. I feel your admiration, but that's what I did. And it was a dense snow. I don't know if I mentioned that. It covered everything. It covered where the sidewalks were. It covered where the sidewalks weren't. I found a place where the sidewalks weren't. Right underneath that snow was this great muddy mess that I hadn't seen. Oh, and then there's this other deal. I was wearing these sandals. So I spent the remainder of the day with soggy feet, to tell you the truth. I got to my destination, but I probably wasn't so happy about getting there. I just picked the wrong way. That's all I did. I started a little Bible study with you here last week called Choosing Your Way. And it's not about how you wander in the snow. Don't look to me for guidance. It's about how you plan your path in life. And for that, we look to Solomon for wisdom. Solomon is so careful to say to us, listen, it's the direction that you're on, not the intention that you have. It's the direction you're headed that determines the destination you'll achieve. Do you know how important that is? He's kind enough to tell us the truth. He says, you show me the path that you're taking, and I'll show you the place that you're going. No matter what you really, where you'd really like to go, that certainly is surely where you're destined to go. And so he's constantly guiding us to say, pick your path carefully. And it's important to see that. And he does it so carefully that he even sort of segments humanity and challenges each of us in a different sort of way. And I did this last week, but it's very important for you to have this in your head whenever you read Proverbs, because Solomon is always thinking in terms of three kinds of persons that he's speaking to. And I'll just put them on the screen. It won't be hard for you to memorize them, but it's important to remember them, each one. The first kind of person is the simple person. This is the naive, inexperienced person. And Solomon has lots of guidance and wisdom for that person if they will just admit, I need additional insight. I don't have all that experience. The second one is the mocker. The person who's become defiant, a little cynical, a little jaded in life. And Solomon is not afraid to step up and correct the person and say, no, wait a minute, get on with it. And that person has help. And then the third one is the fool. And you never want to be called a fool in the Bible, because it's really a bad thing. Because this is the person who has lost their moral compass. They have no center at the center. And as a result, they are far more prone to wander. And Solomon is still good and kind to say, no, I've got a warning for you. But the caution that he gives us is, listen, no matter what kind of person you are, be aware that there are divergent paths. If you're here last week, we talked about the right of way, that there are two different paths continually presented. He uses two women to portray that path, those paths, a classy woman named Wisdom and a brassy chick named Folly. And what he shows us is, at the beginning, the two paths look so similar, but listen, they head in dramatically different destinations. And we have to be very careful. Solomon is kind enough to say to us, you just don't recognize how easily you wander. And what we need to say is, yeah, that's true. A simple reflection compels us to say that. But the question is, why do we get lost so easily? You see, how come we end up on so many wrong paths? And for that, I want us to look at just one portion of Scripture, one verse. We'll back it up with you, a few others. But just one passage of Scripture. If you look on the inside of the worship folder, there's a sheet printed for you there. Losing Your Way is up at the top, and Proverbs 14, verse 12 is printed for you. You say, just one verse? Yeah, Proverbs is like fudge, okay? Just a little bit at a time, okay? Because there's a whole lot there. So let's stand. This is God's word, and we cannot afford to forget that for a moment. Proverbs 14. Here's what it says to me. There is a way through the snow that seems right to Matt, but in the end, it leads to soggy feet. That's a paraphrase. Solomon is talking about something far more profound than that, isn't he? So make sure you get it. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We have to hear that word. Have a seat, will you? We'll take a look at it together. And as you're seated, I'd just like to give you a little bit of background and have you admire with me again the genius of God in using Hebrew poetry as a tool to convey wisdom. Hebrew poetry is different than other poetry, and poetry in almost every language I know is rooted in a repetition of sound. That's normally how poetry works, and we're cued and tuned to that. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to accompany her. No, that's not right. I mean, you need a go there, don't you? And that's fine, except for if you try to translate that in another language, you lose it. Hebrew poetry is not built upon repetition of sound. It's built upon repetition of ideas. And normally it comes as couplets, two lines. The first line will state something, and the second line will complete it or develop it or contrast it. And it's important to see that. And in fact, I'll just put up on the screen the three basic kinds of Hebrew poetry, and it may be helpful for you as you think about the Proverbs. Three kinds of Proverbs, and I'll give you an example in each case. The first case is where the second line completes the thought, and the key word always will be "and" at the beginning of the second line in the couplet. So I give you Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. See, it completes the thought. And you'll see that many times in Proverbs, and I really encourage you to be reading through Proverbs and seeing this stuff. Then the other one would be the complementary thought, which is there's an enriching parallel concept. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 17. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fatted calf with hatred. And so you'll see better in the first phrase and then in the second phrase. And there are a lot of Proverbs like that. And I might just say, sometimes it's like this, so that. Is the other pattern. And then there's the third one, which is the contrasting proverb. The second line contrasts, and so the word but is always there. So Proverbs 14:1, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. You see, it's a contrasting idea. And so important for you to see, this is a contrasting proverb. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And so that's a very important concept. And I might say, by the way, this proverb is repeated. Proverbs 16, verse 25, you get the same proverb repeated. When God says something twice, it's like putting it in boldface type. And so we have to say, yeah, we got to pay attention here. Now, two ways are being presented to us. Only one is stated, but you have to think of yourself traveling through the Middle Eastern desert and think of the bleakest part of the desert, where there isn't much definition, and just see yourself going down a trail that's hardly a trail, and suddenly it diverges. It goes into two different directions. One path goes off in one direction, and then it disappears. The other heads in yet another direction, but it too disappears. Solomon says, You really got to pay attention. Any Middle Eastern traveler right then would say, oh, yeah, this is the time to be careful. Because look, you get on the wrong path, you can end up dying of exposure, starvation, dying of thirst. You could perish. You've really got to be careful now. But Solomon adds something that's very important. He says, look, what you don't want to do is just take the one that seems right to you. How dumb would that be? And he's not just talking about traveling, is he? He's really talking about the trajectory of our life. And he's saying we have to be careful because many times we put our life on a certain path and it will take us to a place that we don't want to go. Now, the question that's reasonable is, how come? Somehow we seem to get on the wrong path more easily than the right path, don't we? And the question is why? And here's where the book of Proverbs can help us so much. Because Proverbs does not just repeat things over and over. Solomon gives different subtleties and nuance and insight. And so I've arrayed really for you four different passages that I think can help you understand why it is we get lost and even show us how we get lost. So if you got your pen or pencil, you have how we get lost there on that sheet. And if you want to fill in the blanks there, how we get lost, the first reason comes from rushing ahead without reflection. We are rushing ahead without reflection. It's mentioned many times in Proverbs, but especially Proverbs 19, verse 2, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. I mean, if you think about it, people don't intend to get lost, right? That's not what happens, but boy, they sure do. And what happens, according to this passage, is sometimes we just get in a rush. See, I was in a rush to go from the office building to the worship center. And the rush justified my picking a path quickly, even though it ended up being a stupid path. So we head out without much thought. We'd head out with not much reflection because we feel the pressure. We just got to get going. And, you know, we just don't think it through. And sometimes we do think it through, but we don't want to think about thinking it through. I mean, we know that roads go somewhere, but you just don't want to think about where they go. And you can find that, you know, always the tip off on that is the word just. Because just is a very powerful way of saying, I don't want to think about consequences. I just want to take action now. Let me show you what I mean. I remember when I first started hunting, get the guys in the group that were hunting, I hunted together with, and oh man, they're talking and talking. I say, let's just go. You know what they want to do? They want to look at maps and things like that. How dumb is that? Let's just go. Can I tell you something? When you spend 2 days looking for the truck, you don't want to just go anymore. I mean, you can pass the biggest elk you've ever seen and say, oh, forget it. You're not the truck. I don't care anymore. I just need the truck. Just going is a really dumb idea. But that's what rushing ahead without reflection is. See? Here, listen to the woman. She says, look, I'm just hanging out with him. We're not dating. We're just hanging out together. Oh, really? Paths lead to places. You get it? You just have to be honest with yourself. Here's a guy that says, look, I'm just applying for a credit card. I'm not going to use it. I just want it for identification. I'll use an SNL word. Really? Because it ain't convincing anybody, not even you. But that's what we do. We rush ahead. Here's the second thing that causes us to get lost. If you want to fill in that next set of blanks, placing too much confidence in our perceptions. Placing too much confidence in our perceptions. And I give you from Proverbs 26, one of my favorite chapters in Proverbs. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. See, we don't intend to get lost. And then when we find out we are lost, we don't know how it happened. Isn't it true? And we just don't know how it happened. I mean, now, anyone else knows. Everyone else knows. We don't know. See, you found yourself saying, why did you wear sandals on a snowy day? And you know my instinctive response? Shut up. That's what we do. We hear people and they have correct insight, but we want to trust our own perceptions. And that's exactly what he's talking about. I mean, you can defend things. You can go on the wrong path and end up in the wrong place. And you can say to people, look, it's my life, my business. I don't have to listen to what you're saying. And you're right. You do not have to listen. But I have to tell you something. They're still thinking it anyway. And they're thinking, boy, you are dumb. You say, I don't think people should be thinking about me like that. Oh, they do. Did you know that? People have an opinion of who you married and the car you bought and the house you live in. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. So do you. Is it okay if I tell the truth in church? That's what we do. I mean, don't you? You've never found yourself thinking, what does she see in him? That's what we do. You ever thought, why didn't he just quit that dumb job? See, people think that. And since they think that, maybe it would be good if we would listen to that. See, you find people who end up in the wrong places, and you say to them, well, didn't somebody say something to you? And the answer is, yeah. I mean, yeah. See, someone said, I mean, do you think you can get full financing for that idea in this economy? And our response, we stick our fingers in our ears and say, blah, 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 I don't want to hear it. But there always are those voices there. There's someone who said, do you think you should date so soon after a divorce? Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. It's our reliance upon our own perceptions. And it's a dangerous thing because God always has other voices for us. I was just this last week, I had this great experience. Got some guys in like a Christian fraternity. And I want to say they're Christian guys, good guys. I also want to say it's a fraternity. Have I said enough? And they're doing what guys do. And nothing that they were doing really was bad. They're just being guys together. It really was fine. Except there's one guy with a video camera. And with the video camera, listen, it makes a record without any context. And the video ends up nearly being distributed very broadly. It was a YouTube special. Do you understand what I'm saying? And fortunately, by God's mercy, it didn't make it out there. But if you watch the video, there's one guy, the Eagle Scout, in the background. You don't see him, but you hear him. And here's what he says. Guys, I do not think this is a good idea. Guys, I would not do that. Guys, I don't think this is a good idea. But they didn't want to hear it. They relied upon their own perception, and frankly, it was almost disastrous for them. And we need to be careful about it. There's a third reason we lose our way. Take a look at it. If you want to fill in the blanks, permitting ourselves to be pulled away. This is a very important one. Permitting ourselves to be pulled away. We don't intend to get lost. We don't know how we got lost, but boy, I want to tell you, the truth is we're easily distracted. And please notice that Proverbs 23, just look in verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. See, there's a command there. He's saying, don't permit something. Do not let your heart be envious. There is the tendency, he says, for us to envy the circumstance of another person. And to me, it's a very important idea. We get distracted, and those distractions make a decision for us. And the beauty of the passage, don't be envious of the sinner. There is a very powerful fear that drives many, many people. And you know what it is? The fear of missing out. And I want to tell you, it's a very powerful tool that the enemy uses. The thought is, everyone else is having all the fun. And you poor schlub, you are missing out. And maybe you have found yourself somewhere along the line saying, how come I'm the one who always has to be honest? I mean, I pay my fees, I get my permits, I pay my taxes. No one pays their taxes. How come I have to pay my taxes? You feel it? You're missing out. How come I'm the one who has to be humble? What's wrong with just pushing ahead every now and then? How come I'm the one who has to be forgiving? I just like to get even one time. Am I telling the truth? We have a lot of this stuff going on inside of ourselves. How come I'm the one that has to be responsible? Why do I have to be the one who's hardworking? You see it? How come I'm the one that has to be generous? It's very important to recognize that. And while you're doing it, see, to keep you from being distracted, somewhere along the line, have my job and sit down with people who took the alternative path and arrived at the destination. And just ask them. Sit down with a person who's lamenting their terrible marriage or their horrible finances or their awful job and say, didn't you kind of see that coming? I mean, weren't there any cautions for you there? And listen to them. And they'll say, yeah, my dad tried to warn me. Or they'll say, my buddies, I think they tried to talk to me. I wouldn't listen to them. Or they'll say, to be honest, I always kind of had a nagging doubt there. Well, then why did you go ahead? Answer, because I was afraid I would miss out. The fear of missing out is very powerful. The Bible teaches a fear that will drive out all other fears, if you understand it. And it's in this verse, don't let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Now, I mentioned this to you last week. The fear of the Lord is a hard concept to convey. It's easy to distort. But I try to summarize it, all the core teaching of the scripture, in three words. I'll give them to you now. And if you get the concept, I think it can be very helpful. This is the core essence of the fear of the Lord. First, God is there. God is always there, and you can never ignore him. It is pure folly to live a life in such a way that you act as if God is not there. The fear of the Lord says, right now, Lord, you are here, and I cannot ignore that fact. The second, God is in charge. Not only is he there, but he is in charge. And it is folly to fight him because his will always prevail. So not only is he there, he's in charge. So I can't just ignore him. I have to start aligning myself with him. And that leads to the third thing, and that is God has a plan. God has a plan. And it is idiocy to reject him because he is always operating out of that plan. And by the way, that plan is rooted in his mercy towards our good and care. In fact, that's the next verse. Look at it in verse 18, Proverbs 23, verse 18. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do you see what Solomon's saying? Hey, don't envy those guys. Fear the Lord. Why? God's got a plan for you. He's not gonna forget you. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slow about his promises. And if you read the rest of 2 Peter 3:9, it says the reason why God seems slow about his promises is because he's making sure that his plan for your good is being fulfilled. And so we have to have a confidence in that. In fact, verse 19, here's the challenge. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. So listen, heed the warnings of your own heart. Heed the cautions of your family, your friends, the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. Just listen to that. Now, there's a fourth reason that we get lost, and it's very important to see it. If you want to fill in the couple of blanks there, refusing to rely on the insight of others. Refusing to rely on the insight of others. Proverbs 15, 12, very important passage. A mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. Huh. Even when we are lost, and we know it, we're determined to stick with it. I mean, I don't turn around in the snow. No, I slog through. You say, but why'd you do that? Answer, I'm stupid. You say, we have sort of a stereotype, don't we? Men won't stop and ask for directions. Do you know why we have that stereotype? Because men won't stop and ask for directions. And it's important to see that. And we will not consult the wise. See, again, I say to someone, I mean, look at where you're ended. Didn't you see that coming? And very frequently, you know the answer that I get? Yeah, I got a warning, but I didn't like the way they said it to me. Oh, what they said was accurate, but the way they said it, yeah. I mean, this guy came up to me, he doesn't even know me, he says, you shouldn't be dating her. Was he right? Yeah, but I didn't like the way he said it. Oh, that's good. Keen insight there. But we do it all the time. My father-in-law came to me and said, you need to get a job before you buy a car like that. Was he right? Yeah, but he shouldn't have talked to me like that. Okay, but you shouldn't have gotten a car like that. And you had an opportunity to learn. You see? Someone comes up and they say, look, you got no business hanging around with a lowlife like that. And you give them Bible verses on not calling people lowlifes while you become the lowlife that you're in training to become. It's important. The mocker resents correction, and that's why we stay lost. It's hard for us to admit that we are on the wrong path. I mean, I don't know anyone that likes it, and it's tough because if we admit we're on the wrong path, we got to take a loss. I mean, do you remember this financial thing of a couple years back? People said it's a bubble, it's going to burst. Do you know how many people said, if that's true, great, but if I stop now, I'll take a loss. They took a bigger loss. I mean, you can always delay, you just take a bigger loss. And we don't want to hear that. So you know how good we are at this? We let the calamity that we have signed up for fall on us, and then we blame our current condition on the calamity. Do you know that? See, we look to the past, and we blame the present on our past, as if it just happened, instead of saying, no, this is the path I took. It's astounding how gifted we are at altering our past to make it conform to our present. Some of you guys have been involved in athletics. You know what the loser's limp is? For those of you who've never been involved in athletics, I'll tell you, it's easy to spot. The loser's limp is the wide receiver who's in the end zone. There's a 45-yard pass coming right to him. It hits his hands. It goes right through them. He goes to the ground, and as you watch him heading back to the huddle, he's got a limp that he didn't have before, because he would have caught that ball, but he's injured. And that injury in his leg, it affected his hands. If he catches the next pass, he will be magically healed. Isn't it true? You can see it. See, people who are failing in life look to their past and they blame their present on it, on their past. People who are succeeding in life look to their future and alter their present in order to get to that future. It's very, very important to see that. And so one of the ways we get that is by admitting, hearing the counsel of others saying, hey, you're lost. You turn around. Look, you get on the wrong path and you turn around, you're gonna lose something. If I had said, this path through the snow doesn't work, I could have backtracked. I could have taken another path. I would have lost time, but I wouldn't have had soggy feet all day. The longer you wait, the more you pay. It's as simple as that. But when you're doing it in life, you can lose a whole season of your life if you don't stop and say, yeah, I'm lost. Now, there are three sort of other considerations that come out of this. I'd like to mention them before I quit. And here's the first one. I know reasonably a person would say, yeah, how can I avoid getting lost? And if I may, I'll give you just one bonus verse. It's worth memorizing. It's really a great portion of scripture. So it's just Proverbs 27, verse 12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. To me, this is so great. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. I like the passage because it says, no matter who you are, very wise, the prudent person, or very naive, the simple person, any one of us can end up wandering into the wrong direction. But the prudent person has learned to do something very important, and it's this: stop. The unwise person just keeps on going, hoping that there will be a different outcome. It does not work. And what we need to do is learn from the prudent person. Sometimes you just stop. You've been fighting with your ex-wife, and you've been fighting with your ex-wife, and you've been fighting with your ex-wife. How's that working out for you? Here's a creative idea. Stop. You've been disciplining the kids. You put them on restriction. And then you put them on more restriction. And then you put them on more restriction. They are now on restriction to the year 2031. It's not working. Stop. Do you get it? It's a powerful idea. And then the reverse thought is that you start, in this case, you start seeking refuge. The prudent person seeks refuge. And I would just say, in the world of wisdom, it's looking for a safe person in a safe place who will give you safe advice. And you need to do anything you can to find that place. Now, another quick consideration on this is, I know if you have any heart of compassion, that you are aware of people who you see who have gotten on the wrong path, and you know they're lost. And the question is, how do I help my lost friend? And I'd like to give you just three real simple ideas, kind of a summary of Proverbs in some way that may help you. And I'll just say it very, very quickly. And you're familiar with the categories, and so that'll help you a little bit. The simple person needs a caution. The simple person, the naive person, needs a caution. The second category, of course, is the mocker. The mocker needs a correction. And that's there's a little bit more intensity there, from a loving caution to a firm correction. You hear it? But then the third one, the fool, needs a condition. Now you're saying, I think I get the idea. The simple person, the naive person, caution, loving caution. And then the mocker, they're a little more cynical. Don't be afraid to be a little tougher. Give them a correction. Great. But what do you mean by the condition? For the fool, they have to come to a certain condition. In 12-step terms, we say they have to hit bottom. I want you to hear me on this because it's very important. If you're a parent, please hear me. If you've got a young child, they're simple, they're naive, don't treat them like you're a mocker. Don't beat up on them and push them away and shun them. Don't do that. Be careful. Give them the loving caution they need. On the flip side, you have an adult child who's wandered and gotten very lost. Listen, don't treat them as if they're just simple. You will jump in and try to rescue and rescue, and it will not work. They've got to bump into the bottom, or else they will never begin to look up. It's important to understand that. You say, yeah, but how do I know which one? That's why you've got to call upon the Lord for wisdom. See, you have to ask the God of wisdom if you're ever going to show wisdom to the key people in your life. Okay, one last thought. You say, I just want to make sure that I'm not lost. Well, here we go. Four questions for the possibly lost. How's that? And I'll do it real quick. But here we go. Here's the first one. Where am I? Really important. You want to just stop and assess and just say, where am I? Stop and ask the question, do I like where I am right now? Can I tell you, learn to be reflective. Use this worship time. Don't just come in here and sing the things and do the stuff. Come in here and say, Lord, you are here. I am here before you. You speak. I really will listen. I need to know where I am right now. I want to tell you, it'll change things. It'll help you, because there's always a choice. And it just gets harder the farther down the path you go. The sooner you see it, the better it's going to be. Second question, where am I headed? Not just where am I, but where am I headed? That's why this verse is so important. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, see, that's the critical thought. In the end, it leads to death. That's the key to the whole verse. So the question is, do you want the destination that you're headed to? And it's just so critical to stop and ask that question. Now, I'm talking about the destination that you are directed to, not the desire that you have. I'm talking about the path that you're on, which will bring you to a place. You need to just stop and say, do I want that? Because you are certainly headed that direction. And it's so important to stop and say, is that the future I want? And you say, honestly, I have difficulty assessing my future. Then get some wise counsel in your life. Get someone who will help you. And if you have to, pay for that wise counsel. But whatever you do, just don't stick with the path and say, well, let's just see what happens. If I say it to you this way, do not settle for a wasted life. Third thing, how can I change course? It's very important to understand that there is a different direction always possible. Some people get themselves on a path and they feel overwhelmed with despair. One of the sharpest darts in Satan's quiver is despair. And I want to tell you that God is the God who wants to help us change. But the way you change is by beginning now. And so the important thing is, what would it take to begin that new direction? It doesn't take you automatically to a new destination, but what does it take? And I mean by this, go home, take out the credit cards, cut them in little pieces, hold them over the trash as an offering wholly to the Lord, and let go. It will be a great spiritual experience for you, in which you're saying, I do not want to go the direction that this is helping me go. See, join a 12-step group here. You say, oh, if I did that, I'd be ashamed to be seen with those people. Yes. Go be with the people that you're ashamed to be seen with so you don't become the person that you're ashamed that you have, end up being. Make that step, and over time, you'll find out that those people are a great gift to you. Change friends. Just be bold enough to say to your friends, you know what? I wanted to have an influence on you. It turns out I'm not better than you. I'm weaker than you. I can't change you. You're changing me. I don't want to do that. I'm stepping back, and I'm going to pray for somebody stronger than me to come and be with you because I want the best for you, but I can't do it. Just have the guts to just say it and do it. Enroll in a health club because your resolution, New Year's resolution for 2011, that didn't work so good, did it? Or the one for 2010 or 9 or 8. Should I keep going? Yeah, because in your heart you're saying, just shut up. You understand? You get to change directions. You just got to take the step. You break up with him. You say, I don't know what to say. Break up with him. Well, I don't know if he'll accept it. Type it out. Send him an email. You say, that doesn't seem good. Do it anyway. It's better than staying on the destructive path. Just discontinue your internet service. You say, I don't even know how to do that. Come see me. I'll give you a pair of wire cutters, and we can do it in seconds. And you can still have the privilege of paying. Do you see what I'm saying? It's very important to just stop and say, hey, how can I change courses? The answer, the real answer to that is now. Take a step, because a step is how you begin a new path. Fourth question, then I'm done. Who will help me? Very important. It's so critical that you know that you can have a companion on your new path. And I just want, I'll give you just Matthew 16, verse 24. This is a Jesus' great statement. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You say, yeah, I know about Jesus. I believe in Jesus. No. Believing in Jesus, that's the easy part. The command and the challenge is follow me. And Jesus is always headed on the path of wisdom. And if you're headed on any other path, you are not following him. It's important to see that. See, the Christian life is not sin avoidance. The Christian life is the blessing of walking with God, who has a wonderful will for us. And we get the joy of traveling with him. The Christian life is recognizing that God is so committed to helping us get to that path to wisdom that he jumped to our path to foolishness. His son came, met us on that path, and through his death and resurrection, drug us out to the opportunity for a whole new life. And the wise person says, what could I do except walk with you down that path? The foolish person denies, defends, distorts, and ultimately deceives themselves. that the path they're on will somehow all work out. It'll work out all right, but it won't work out the way we want. Now, other than that, I haven't got much to say about this verse. But maybe we ought to stop and pray over that a little bit anyway, huh? Let's do it. Most holy God, you stand above all of our paths, and you see with perfect clarity the places that we are headed. You see our directions with flawless sight, and you know the destinations that are determined by them. So more than anything else, we need to walk with you. You who loved us so much that you sent your Son to our very wayward paths so that we might walk with you. How could we do anything other than seek you, serve you, try to show you with our lives? Please, Lord, help us to quit defending our foolish decisions, to quit distorting the senseless paths that we've taken, to quit denying the reality that is obvious even to us. Help us instead to hear the beautiful invitation of Jesus again, that we have the right to follow him. Jesus, who was wisdom himself, please help us to just get it right, that you give us this lovely invitation to follow him. Keep us, Lord, from silly complications, senseless distortions that reject the reality that we've got ourselves lost. Help us to be deadly honest with you. Thank you for being deadly serious with us, even to the point of giving up your own Son. Help us to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.